Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
Not just yet, but we will need to adapt our behaviours. Look, from Monday, when groups of six people will, no more than six people will be allowed to meet, I think indoors or outdoors, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't actually talking about that, but I'm sure we'll come on to that in a minute. But,
what were you talking about?
I'm talking about the internal markets bill. But yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. But
only in a specific and limited way.
Yes, yeah, so it's okay. So I did stab him, Your Honour.
If you get stopped by the police, you just say, I did speed, but only in a very specific and limited way, so it doesn't count.
You've got first-hand experience of that, haven't you?
I have.
But I did stab him, Your Honour, but only once in the chest, in a limited and restricted way. Oh, God.
Yes.
It's just... Anyway, markets, another terrible day, really, yesterday. Wall Street leading everybody down. Tech stocks bearing the brunt of the falls again.
Yeah, very much so. US technology shares tumbling for a third straight session. NASDAQ down 4% as investors continue to question valuations following the incredible five-month rally that saw the technology index surge somewhere close to 70% from the March lows. NASDAQ has lost 11% in its longest losing streak since July. Tesla, we were talking about Tesla yesterday. Many people may have been listening. Shares tumbled 19%. After committee members of the S&P 500 decided not to include it in the index this time around, perhaps some concerns over its profitability matrix. Also under pressure after General Motors agreed to take a $2 billion stake in Nikola, which is an electric vehicle startup, so perhaps suggesting greater competition there. I don't know how your day went yesterday. Elon Musk's personal wealth dropped $16 billion, which is a bad day in the office by anyone's standards.
Swings and roundabouts for him, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, mostly swings, probably. It has to be said. Still got enough money for lunch, so there's some good news there.
Well, especially now he knows what it feels like, you know, to be hurtling back towards Earth at 26,000 miles an hour in a space capsule.
That's a good line. I like that. The S&P 500 fell to its lowest level since August 11th, down 2.8%. Markets also concerned, of course, by the straining US-China relationship. Brexit after Boris Johnson vowed he won't back down over sticking points. Oil slumped once again, and concerns that rising cases, particularly likes of India, but also across Europe, will lead to greater restrictions and in turn lower levels of economic activity requiring less energy. Lots of people questioning, are we looking at this bubble bursting when it comes to technology shares? Is it akin to what we saw during the dot-com boom? I think it's very different this time around. We know that share price movements are backed by a range of other factors this time around: profitability, solid balance sheets, but also the structural change that's taking place that's been driving much faster adoption rates when it comes to technology. So I think this is a natural consolidation, as I've said before, some froth coming off the market, but by no means the start of a fundamental re-evaluation of the sector.
Yes, I was having a reasonably good day, but I must admit I nearly came off the treadmill at the gym when I heard Brandon Lewis speaking in the House of Commons, saying the government was prepared to break international law, as we were mentioning, in a very specific and limited way. I mean, who briefed him on that?
It's a bizarre stance to take for a lawmaker, it has to be said, to acknowledge that they would be infringing upon, shall we say, international law in such a fashion. This is the government looks set to publish today its new bill to regulate the country's internal market, looks set to transfer powers to regulate issues such as food standards and environmental policy previously held by the European Union to the devolved nations, will seek to harmonise standards across England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland after the transition finishes at the end of this year. The plan is designed to prevent new barriers between the four UK nations, making them sure it's not subjected to limits imposed by devolved governments, by enshrining this mutual recognition concept for standards on goods, services and things like qualifications. As you say, met with a barrage of disappointment amongst other policymakers yesterday. Opposition politicians described it as a power grab that threatens devolved government's ability to act independently. The European Union said it would infringe upon the withdrawal agreement bill and the Northern Ireland Protocol, particularly when, of course, it is applied to Northern Ireland, which would mean it would share a border with Ireland. So lots of ramifications as a result of this internal bill.
We went through the whys and what fors yesterday about that, so we won't deal with it again. But I mean, whether it's the case of actually front bench politician vaguely speaking the truth or the actual crux of what he said, but it was even enough for Theresa May to get up and have a go.
It's true, isn't it? A blast from the past, and lots of political voices will be unhappy with the way in which this has been approached and forced through. And it's just an aggressive stance being taken by the Boris Johnson administration in relation to how the transition period will finish and the way in which new rules will come into place, and suggesting that the ability to get the trade agreement with the European Union done looks further away perhaps than was anticipated at this stage.
Well, all does suggest another massive U-turn by the government at some point. I mean, they had more U-turns than a roundabout in Milton Keynes, didn't they?
It is getting a little bit crazy, this one. As you say, it seems like a government that is reacting to the opinion polls, is reacting to the commentary by newspapers, by political journalists, as opposed to setting a standard and trying to keep to it. And it makes it very difficult, of course, to analyse where future policy is likely to go and where those risks are likely to play out.
And when you consider one of the main thrusts of Brexiteers, i.e. unelected Brussels bureaucrats, when you have someone like unelected Dominic Cummings pulling the strings in 10 Downing Street...
You always try to drag me into these political
arguments. Just a statement of fact, really.
To lay out that there are numerous characters playing out as we go through this this play around Brexit, but we will see how it finally comes to fruition, one would suspect, over the course of the next few weeks. As we've been talking about, both sides have agreed that they need to find some resolution by October if a smooth Brexit deal is to be applied by the end of the year.
Should have gone to Specsavers, and EasyJet not having a great time either at the moment.
Shares down 5% yesterday after saying they slowed the build-up of flights. Following the latest UK curbs on international fraud, which saw quarantine requirements extended, the airline's been planning to fly at somewhere close to 40% capacity during the current quarter, now expects to operate at slightly less than that. Shares were under pressure yesterday after dropping its forecast for a smaller loss in this current quarter than in the previous quarter. They also said it wouldn't provide any guidance for the next fiscal year, which starts next month. Virus cases rising in European countries, along with the UK, but also in the likes of France and Germany. It looks like it's going to be a tougher road to recovery than many had hoped for the airline industry. EasyJet, like many others, calling for sector-specific support for that sector, including removal of air passenger duty for 12 months, alleviation of air traffic control charges, and extension of a waiver of the use of landing slots and takeoff slots at airports. So lots needs to happen if this is a sector that's not going to spiral deeply out of control.
Well, all that political jiggery-pokery yesterday certainly had an effect on the pound, isn't it?
Yeah, pound falling below the 130 mark yesterday. We know that investors tend to use currencies to express concerns around economies and the outlook, and that's certainly been the case for Brexit. Sterling coming under pressure. Pound against dollar this morning, 129.5. Euro dollar coming in at 117.5. You're going to get 1 euro 10 cents for your British pound this morning.
So what are you doing today? Breaking the law at all, or...?
No. I'm always maintaining the law. I have very strict guidance there, so I will be making sure that everyone's abiding by the rules and regulations as prescribed by the government.
You wouldn't stand a chance in 10 Downing Street, then. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclay.